Describe how you first met.
It was in Colombia.
Bogota.
It's 2005, and Mr. and Mrs. Smith is a box office hit, grossing more than $50 million in its opening weekend alone.
Is an helicopter arriving to Bogota? Like, do 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 do. And it's only like a rural area with a lot of bombs, like boom. Bah! Boom! Bogota, Colombia.
For Edna Liliana Valencia Murillo, a Colombian, it's smacked of stereotypes and cliches.
And then a beer, and someone looks like Pablo Escobar, something like that. And then Mr. and Mrs. Smith trying to, fight against the criminal people in Colombia.
And that's the thing about Hollywood. Since its creation more than 100 years ago, it's been making movies for audiences that are a reflection of itself, Western and white.
Some of the most, kind of canonical films have featured very problematic representations of particular groups. One really key example was Breakfast at Tiffany's, where Mickey Rooney was a white actor, played a very, very racist stereotype of a Chinese person.
Don't be angry, you dear little man, I won't do it again.
In recent times, I can't help but think of Hollywood's depiction of the Middle East.
Go on outside.
Ben Affleck's Argo is a depiction of Iran made by people who have never been to Iran.
There are a lot of TV shows and a lot of films that have not aged well.
I'm the man up in this piece! You'll never see the light of day.
The way that black communities in America have been impacted, in the way that we talk about law enforcement, in the way that we talk about violence and drugs. When you think about Asian American communities, when you talk about things like sexuality and desirability.
I didn't order anything, not even you.
When you talk about women and you talk about women being in roles and in positions where they're not empowered, and it's sort of reinforcing this idea that gender disparity between men and women. When we think about the entertainment industry, there hasn't really been a focus on the cultural sensitivity.
That's changing. As movie junkies, the people who actually sit through the closing credits, will tell you, there's a new category scrolling by, the cultural consultant. Hollywood has been using outside expertise for years. In The Exorcist, the part of the priest was played by a former priest. There were real-life pilots in the 9/11-based film United 93. And when it comes to war, the so-called military entertainment complex, Department of Defense officials have been brought in to help produce Pentagon propaganda hundreds of times.
Good morning, aviators.
With social movements like Me Too and Black Lives Matter forcing a reckoning in the United States and beyond, a demand for a different kind of expertise has emerged.
What time is it?
Time's up!
And realizing their time really is up, Hollywood, an industry that is slow to change, has started signing contracts with cultural consultants.
The cultural consultant's role inside of Hollywood is to really help the creators ensure that what they're doing is actually going to be productive for the cultures that are being represented. And it's not going to inadvertently cause people harm or going to further sort of focus in on tropes or stereotypes.
And it's become a whole industry in itself. Ray Nijan is one of the founders of Culture House, a New York-based production company run by and for cultural consultants. Their services span the gamut of production from casting to marketing, providing holistic support to storytellers out to challenge the dominant narratives in the media.
What we're doing is that we are sort of the aggregators, and we sort of are able to support them and say, okay, if you want to be thinking about this community, let's really look at the cast of characters that you're putting together. Let's really help you to consult and talk with the right folks to make sure that those characters feel really authentic to the time and to the place.
Nijan is talking about someone like Valencia Murillo, who, as an Afro-Colombian, has experienced racism and discrimination in one of Latin America's most class-ridden societies. That resulting experience is what made her valuable to the producers of Disney's recent hit, Encanto.
I was part of the team of cultural trust from that Walt Disney create to help them to represent Colombia in the in a better way. I was in charge of the representation of black people in the movie. Representation is not an easy thing to do, but black representation is even more difficult because we used to see black people from the stereotype of poverty or slavery or being ugly, for example, bad hair, that kind of concepts. Cultural consulting was to put in the table how the diversity of black culture in Colombia can be represented from a perspective of dignity, that's very important to me, and also with the possibility to inspire new generations.
You're impressed, imagine how I feel, Mom.
I grew up admiring princesses of Walt Disney and feeling myself ugly, you know? So to me, this is amazing that I helped them to understand why Afro hair was so important to be in the movie.
Got every generation.
It's the first time you see Afro hairs in a Walt Disney movie. And it's the first time you see the 12 textures of hair in the 12 members of the family Madrigal. Cultural consulting, to me, is taking into account the vision of how a population see themselves. We are trying to avoid that kind of view of describing a population from outside and not having the point of view of the people inside.
At this year's awards ceremonies, the film industry's annual celebrations of itself, Encanto won big. It's part of a growing collection of film and TV series that have put representation at their core.
You're the girl with the deaf family?
Take Coda, the Oscar-winning film about a hearing child in an otherwise deaf family.
We've been around since there was footage. You just have to look for us.
Disclosure, the Netflix original that looks at transgender depictions within Hollywood. Or Marvel's first live-action Muslim superhero, Ms. Marvel. All signs of progress. But for others from these communities working in the industry, cultural consultancy is like a band-aid, a giant one, covering up a problem that runs deep.
The idea is not for us as consultants to come in and now larger organizations or corporations can say, see, we have diversity. No, no, no. Cultural consultants are there to support a writer's room. And often that writer's room, regardless of whether there's cultural consultants or not, has to be incredibly diverse. That is a completely separate consideration. And if anything, so much of what we've learned and seen is that there are many writers' room where you have a couple of black folks or queer folks or brown folks, and every time a storyline around one of those communities comes up, everyone looks at that person like, hey, tell us what the black community thinks. That's not fair.
For me, in order to make a positive step, at least, and it will only ever be a step, culture industries need to do better in terms of making their organisations more representative of society at large. So what I would rather ensure is a parity of participation, if you like, that everyone, no matter their background, has an opportunity to create stories on a mass scale which can be shared with everyone, with a wide range of audiences. For me, that is the bigger issue. And if we get that right, we won't need cultural consultants. That role would be redundant.
Hollywood's not there yet, so the next time you watch a film and you're not offended, maybe stick around for a few minutes and consult the credits for the reason why.